Let us pray. Lord, we ask now that you clear away the distractions that may arise in our mind and in our heart, that once again we will put our focus on you. We ask that you open the doors to our heart, that you come in and speak to us in a way that only your Holy Spirit can. Bless this time that we have now together, and may the reading of the word that we are about to read become more than just a story for us. May it become something that points to your gospel plan for our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the word. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Judges, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Hero-Shathith. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly for 20 years. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lippidoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and the hill of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak of Ebenoam from Kedesh and Naphtali and said to him, "The Lord of the God of Israel commands you, go take position at Mount Tabor. Bring 10,000 of the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. When we read the scripture, a few things stand out. First of all, the tongue twister of names and places and countries, and it sounds like a lot of Star Wars characters, the way it just rattles off all these different consonants. But the main thing that stands out is the very first verse. And if you'll notice, every passage we've looked at in the book of Judges so far has almost started off the same way. The Israelites, again, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. This is the recurring theme in the book of Judges. They're doing what is evil. They're doing what is right in their own eyes. They're rebelling against God's law and against his love. But then, after they're oppressed, after they're punished, God delivers them. He sends a deliverer. Time and time again, he sends a deliverer. And so when we read this through these these judges, obscure judges, all these stories, we see that this theme of our rebellion and Christ's grace, God's grace, his love, his redemption, continually being offered to us, it keeps coming back to that. And we're saved, we're delivered, he frees us, and then we turn back and he has to do it all over again. And so as we're 3 weeks now into the study of Judges, or 4 weeks, I don't remember, but the theme here, if you can take away from it, is that the Israelites keep shooting themselves in the foot, they keep doing what is wrong, and God has to keep delivering them. He does that with heroes, or in this case, Deborah, we can call her a shero. I got that term from Maya Angelou, who once said that we need to remember and honor our heroes and sheroes. And I always liked that term. In Scripture, there's many heroes. There's many brave men who fought for God, who did what God wanted to, who were inspired by God. But there were also women in the Scripture for us to look up to and to take a cue from. And Deborah was certainly one of those. Now, a little bit about Deborah. We can tell from this scripture, first of all, she was a judge. She was the only woman judge at least the only one that is mentioned in Scripture, the only one that we know about. But the passage here, it says that she is wise, obviously. God appointed her as judge. He would not appoint somebody in that position if they weren't wise. But the people considered her wise. It says the people came to her to be judged. Now, today we think of a judge as somebody who is sort of the arm of the legal system and deals out punishment and sentencing and stuff like that. But really, this era here, judge was more like an arbitrator. And they were considered wise, and the people would go to them for counsel and direction and guidance. And Deborah was obviously considered very wise if the people came to her. Now, usually the judge was in the gates of the city, and that's where they would go to be judged. But Deborah had her own thing going on. They said that she was always hanging out under this palm tree that was called Deborah. I imagine the palm tree was named after her. But the people would come to the palm tree where she took shade to be judged. So they respected her. They sought her out. Now, this passage also tells us that she was a prophetess. It calls her a prophetess. And when we think about a prophet, sometimes we have a little bit of a misunderstanding as to what that could mean. Sometimes people think that a prophet means somebody who can predict the future. We think of somebody like Nostradamus or something like that, who says, you know, speaks in these cryptic riddles that's supposed to tell you what's going to happen thousands of years from now. That's not really what a prophet is. A prophet is simply someone who, first of all, can look at the world around them, the culture around them, see what is going on, and has some sort of insight into what is unfolding. And a lot of times they can say what might happen in the future based on what they're seeing, based on this wisdom and this insight they have of what is going on around them. But more importantly, in Scripture, a prophet is somebody who the Lord speaks through, who God appoints to basically be his spokesperson at this time. And Deborah was a prophetess. The Scripture says so. So obviously, not only was she wise, she was a judge, but God was speaking through her. Now, another interesting thing about prophets is a lot of them sang. We don't really think about that when we think about prophets. But in 1 Chronicles 25:1, it's talking about David. And it says that David and the officers of the army, they set apart for the service the sons of Asaph and Heman, who should prophesy with lyres, harps, and cymbals. So this was a common thing for prophets in this day to sing as they prophesied, as they spoke the word of the Lord. A lot of times they would do that through song. Also in the book of Exodus, when it talks about Miriam, it says, "Then the prophetess Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out with tambourines and with dancing." So again, Miriam was considered a prophetess, but she was singing as she spoke the words of the Lord. Deborah is no different. They call her a prophetess here in Scripture. And then in the next chapter, chapter 5, after these things come to pass, after Sisera's army is defeated, Deborah breaks out in song and she starts singing about it. Now her song, I didn't read that to you, but it's pretty indicative of what happened. Because it says that that the rains came down and that the earth shook and it opened up. In other words, when they went out to this battle, Deborah told Barak to go out to this battle against Sisera. And then once Sisera's army came out, the rains really came down and the weather played a big factor into the Israelite victory. Now it says that Sisera had chariots made of iron. These were big, tough chariots. Nobody could destroy. Nobody could penetrate. His army was huge. That's why they had been able to oppress Israel for all these years. So he had this massive army and these great big iron chariots, and they get out there and it rains and they get stuck in the mud. And then there's an earthquake, and that's how they were defeated. It's a lot like the Nazi army when they fought Russia in World War II. They were known, the Nazi army was known for their tanks And they rolled into Russia thinking they were just going to, you know, do what they were doing all over Europe. And they rolled in there and their tanks got stuck in the mud and they couldn't do anything. They were frozen in place and so they were defeated. And this is how God delivered Sisera to Israel and freed Israel, just as Deborah had predicted. Now, aside from being a prophetess, aside from being wise, aside from knowing that God was going to deliver the Israelite army, the main thing here that I want to talk about is Deborah basically told Barak to man up. Barak said to her, "I'll go if you go with me, but if you don't go, I won't go." That sounds like something a child would say, doesn't it? But yet we're also guilty of saying that sometimes too, maybe not in those exact same words, but if there's something that we feel like we should do, or maybe somebody's asking us to do or whatever, sometimes we'll hesitate and we'll wait to see who else is going to do it. I'll help if other people help. I'll chip in if other people chip in. Or, you know, whatever it is. We look for that positive peer pressure to push us sometimes when we're called to do something, even if we're called to do it on our own. And that's what happened here. Deborah was speaking God's instruction to Barak. She said, "Go draw out this army, lure the entire army into this one place and God will take care of the rest." And Barak said, "I'll only do it if you go with me." Now, she told him, "I'll go with you." She stood by the man. She did what was right. She was faithful. She went with him. But she told him, "It will be said that Sisera was delivered by the hand of a woman." And after this battle, Sisera fled into the mountains and was killed by a woman in his sleep. So Barak didn't get the credit for having won the battle or having taken Sisera or anything like that because he was hesitant. Because he didn't want to step up and be the leader that he was called to do. Now, first of all, this sort of reinforces that thing that we say a lot: behind every great man, there's a great woman, whether it's a spouse or our mother or an encouraging sister or whatever it is. But it's true. Women will play roles in leadership a lot of times, even if it's behind the scene. Even if it's a man that's in a position of leadership, a lot of times he'll be encouraged or pushed into that, not really pushed into that role, but he'll be supported by a woman behind the scenes. Somebody told me before we even moved to Buena Vista, before I ever preached my first sermon, I said, "Don't ever think of this as your ministry." I said, "This is, you know, your family's ministry. You and your wife, you both play a part in this ministry." And they couldn't have been more right, because I know what it's like to have a family, to have a wife that is behind the scenes doing things, supporting and praying and encouraging. And that's what Deborah's role in this was. She was already a leader, but she was trying to encourage Barak to become a leader in his own right. So that's what this scripture is speaking to. It's speaking to not just Barak's lack of leadership, but Deborah's role in developing a leader. Now, obviously, this "I'll do it if you do it" thing, it shows a lack of confidence. It shows a lack of trust in what God says he's going to do. Sometimes it'll show that we have this type of indecisiveness within us. Sometimes it's just laziness. Whatever it is, this inability to move into action, a lot of times it's a lack of faith of God. It's really a disobedience in our call to leadership. So a good leader will sort of give that person a nudge. Good leaders train other leaders. A person who tries to lead everything all on their own is not an effective leader. A good leader will try to bring up new leaders. And a good follower will be active. And a good follower sometimes may even become a leader in their own way. The disciples were followers of Christ, but then they wound up to become the leaders who would basically build and start the church, the Christian movement. That was Jesus' purpose in electing these followers, these disciples, to follow him so that they could also become leaders. Now, when we look at this scripture, there's a message in here for all of us. For men, first of all, we need to learn not to ignore our women or belittle them or just throw our hands up in the air when it seems like they're just nagging us about things. We need to recognize that their encouragement and their support is vital for our role as leaders in whatever we do. It should encourage us to have faith, to step out and take action and do the things that God wants us to do. For women, Deborah is a model of faith-based leadership. She is a leader. And that is very encouraging, I would think, for a woman to see that this lady in the Bible was considered wise. She was considered a prophet. She spoke on behalf of the Lord. And she even went out into battle on her own. So for the women who are listening, this should be an encouragement to step up and lead. It's also an encouragement to all of us, or a word of instruction to all of us, that if you're trying to lead and somebody isn't quite getting on board, sometimes you have to keep going anyway and just let them follow you, as she did with Barak. But we read these stories, we read these scriptures, we talk about the book of Judges, and I've said all of these stories somehow point to Jesus. And it's a strange thing to say when you're talking about all these battles and you know, different things that are happening in the book of Judges. But all of this points to Jesus. We just have to find out how. We sang the song just a little while ago, "I Love to Tell the Story." And as we read all these little stories in the Bible, we realize that it's all part of the same story. God's deliverance through Jesus Christ. God delivered the Israelite people, and he used an unlikely hero, a woman judge, who couldn't get Barak to move into action. But he used that unlikely hero to deliver the people of Israel. In the same way, he chose the unlikely hero of a carpenter, a nomad, someone who hung out with fishermen and tax collectors, and he used him to deliver people all over the world from their slavery to sin and death. Jesus also had a lot of women in his life, his mother, his sisters, his friends, Mary Magdalene, Martha. We read about these in the scripture because they played a prominent role in his ministry. Yes, the 12 disciples he called were all men, but we also know that women followed him too. And those women went on to share the gospel message and to teach. You see, Jesus displayed leadership in a way where his followers could look at that and say, "It's up to me to be a leader here too." So what are we doing? What are we doing to be Christ-like leaders? Are we guilty of just being passive, waiting for someone else to take charge? Or are we willing to step out in our faith, trusting that God can use any of us at any time, any place, for his purpose? The Bible is full of heroes and even sheroes for us to look up to. Praise God for revealing his desires for us through the scriptures and through these historical people of faith. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the example you give us through the lives of men and women in Scripture, through the lives of men and women who have lived before us, people that we have known, our ancestors, former leaders in the church, all the saints who have gone before us. We ask that we will be faithful to their legacy, but more importantly, that we will be faithful to your plan, that we will step up and be leaders in our own way when you have called us to do so. And that we won't always just take charge and do things for ourselves, but that we will also help train up other leaders to come behind us. We ask for the wisdom and the power to do this through your Holy Spirit, which guides us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 707, Hymn of Promise. Please stand if you are able and join us in singing hymn number 707. If you've made a decision of any type today, I invite you, encourage you to come forward as we sing hymn number 707.